I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash. We're building bridges. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Say his name.
Kowalski Trawick. On April 14th, 2019, Kowalski Trawick locked himself out of his apartment while he was cooking. The fire department was called and let Kowalski Trawick back into the apartment without incident. He continued cooking in his home after the situation had been resolved when NYPD officers Thompson and Davis literally and illegally entered, broke into his apartment by using a baton to break the chain on his door, and killed him in 112 seconds. After tasing him and shooting Kowalski Trawick 4 times in his apartment, neither of the officers attempted to administer emergency medical aid. They closed the door to his apartment, then stood outside, leaving him to bleed out on the floor. The DA refused to indict the officers. Over the past 4 years, through 2 mayoral administrations and 3 police commissioners, there's been a series of cover-ups, delays, and obstruction, preventing the public from knowing about Kowalski Trawick and to shield the officers from at least being fired. Kowalski Trawick's family and advocates, organized by the Justice Committee, who's been dedicated to building a movement against police violence and systemic racism in New York City since 1980, are demanding that Mayor Adams and NYPD Commissioner Sewall fire both Thompson and Davis. Kowalski Trawick was a Black gay man, a son, and a brother, pursuing his dreams as a dancer in New York City before that dream in his life was cut short at the hands of the NYPD officers, Thompson and Davis. Now, let's head to the press conference at Police Plaza as the disciplinary trial of the officers who killed Kowalski Trawick concludes, and where speakers discuss the hearing and call on Mayor Eric Adams to ensure the officers who killed Kowalski Trawick are fired.
Kowalski did not have to die. Adams and Sewall don't deny. Kowalski did not have to die.
So you were inside the hearing. Why don't you tell us who you are and what it felt like and what you experienced in the hearing?
I'm Elias Holt. I'm with Freedom Socialist Party. We're here to support the family and be a witness to try and get some justice out of this case for Kowalski's death. First thing that strikes you about a NYPD CCRB hearing is you're in the middle of the police headquarters at One Police Plaza, so you're surrounded by high level of security, armed officers all around you, DAs, and you're just surrounded by cops as you're watching this footage of them killing this innocent man and his family's there. So it's a very difficult experience for the family and everyone who has to witness it.
Did you get a sense of the politics of the hearing officer, of the environment as the last resort in many ways for this family to eke out any kind of responsibility for the taking of their son's life by the members of the NYPD?
This is the last resort for the family within the system. And you hear about all the other investigations done by the police themselves that have cleared these officers. It's clear that they're ignoring all of the evidence that you see in the trial room, that the officers didn't have to enter his apartment, they didn't have to shout at him, they didn't have to extend their baton in an aggressive way, they didn't have to aim a taser at him the entire time, and they didn't have to tase him or shoot and kill him. You're left with this feeling of there's two different worlds. There's the way the NYPD views what they did and let these officers off the hook, and then there's what you see right in front of you, which is someone whose home was invaded by these officers, who didn't bother to talk to anybody who was on the scene to get a sense of what was happening, and who just unleashed a taser and their bullets on him after not even attempting to communicate with him. it's disgusting that the family has to go through this. And then as a result, this judge who works for the NYPD makes a recommendation that goes to the police commissioner, who has final authority. Commissioner Sewell isn't in this room. She's not even witness to everything we're seeing. The system is sad and pathetic, and the police still police themselves. And the family's just doing what they can, but we need a total overhaul of how police are disciplined.
I can't help but tie this in with the death by private hands of former Marine Jordan Neely. How do you understand that and the kind of conversations that are happening in the media, which would seem to justify what we would consider to be a lynching, but justify it because a person is essentially homeless and acknowledges and voices that? I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I don't care if I die. How do you understand what happened with this young man living in supportive housing and the kinds of conversations we are now having that would seem to justify the chokehold and strangulation, lynching of Jordan Neely?
The people who strangled and killed Neely take their cues from the NYPD, who do treat black and brown lives, in Kwasi's case, as a young queer man, as disposable, and then they get away with it. I hope that these officers will be fired. They should have been prosecuted criminally for killing Kwaskri, but we know that if it's like other cases, they won't be. And so this really emboldens everyone who view black and brown people, unhoused people, poor people, queer people as threats to take action and to kill them like they killed Neely. So, you know, the NYPD not being accountable for assaulting the population just gives the green light to vigilantes to take out violence against those same people. It's just like the old relationship between the cops in the South and the KKK. You have sanctioned violence, and then you have vigilante violence working hand in hand under the same system.
Thank you for speaking to us again. You are?
I'm Elias Holtz. I'm with the Freedom Socialist Party. I just want to say, just one note, we're fighting for an elected civilian review board. It'd be elected board, replace the CCRB, and have binding of power to discipline cops, along with an independent prosecutor, because it's clear that police can't police themselves, and today's trial is just another example of that. So we need to pass this bill in the city council so we have community control over police, and the community can fire these officers who are dangerous to people.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mimi.
Fire Thompson and Davis for Kowalski! Fire Thompson and Davis for Kowalski! Fire Thompson and Davis for Kowalski!
Thank you, everyone, for coming. My name is Loida Colon. I'm the executive director of Justice Committee. Today is the third day of the NYPD discipline trial against officers Herbert Davis and Brendan Thompson for the killing of Kowalski Trawick. The video showed what all of us saw in that video, what Kowalski Trawick's family, what elected officials, advocates, and New Yorkers have been saying for over 4 years. It's true. These officers should have been prosecuted and fired. An expert testified, who is a former police officer, who had tons of training, who knew like police policy across this country, and had FBI training. That expert said that Davis and Thompson's actions were inconsistent with their training and NYPD policies. That alone means that they should have been fired 4 years ago. The expert also said both NYPD officers, Herbert Davis and Brendan Thompson, trespassed, broke into Kowalski's home, opened the door, pulled out his baton. The baton that today, the expert who testified said was actually a threatening, escalating move. A baton makes a really loud sound. They broke into Kowalski's home and they've had their tasers out. Tasers and a baton, intimidating. There wasn't a two-way conversation. one way, because it was only Kowalski Trawick that was asking questions and answering them. The only thing these officers did was shout orders, the same order, over and over again. The expert made it clear that had they engaged in conversation in these incidents, in the majority of situations, people comply. The killing of Kowalski Trawick was completely avoidable. The expert testified that it was impossible for Kowalski Trawick to attack, said he was not a threat to officers. Prior to being tased, Kowalski Trawick was not a threat in terms of tasing. The expert was clear that Kowalski should not have been tased. And in addition, before NYPD officer Thompson pulled that trigger, he was supposed to give a warning. That was not just for Kowalski, but for his own officers. Taser, taser is what he was supposed to say so that his own officer can prepare. This is their own training. This is their own policies. In addition to the officer preparing, it was supposed to help Kowalski Trawick be able to comply, because in those situations, when people are threatened with a taser, the expert said the majority of the time they comply. NYPD officers Herbert Davis and Brendan Thompson did absolutely nothing to actually de-escalate. And they went in like a bunch of cowboys, intimidating and angry like gangsters do, honestly. They didn't even interview these officers for more than 30 minutes. They didn't ask a lot of questions. But it is extremely important that we remember that Kowalski's last words were just get out. The video shows it. His very last words just before being shot to death was just get out, because that is what Kowalski Trawick wanted. Today, a former police officer testified that Kowalski Trawick should not have been tased. That means Kowalski Trawick should be alive today. There have been 3 mayoral administrations, several police commissioners, and not one have done the right thing in this case. And we are calling on Mayor Adams and Commissioner Sewell, get these officers off our streets, get these officers off the police department. You're hearing the testimony. They don't follow protocol, they don't follow training, and they don't belong here. They were a danger to Kowalski Trawick, and they are a danger to New Yorkers. Fire NYPD officers Brendan Thompson and Herbert Davis immediately. No more excuses. Our first speaker is Ellen Trawick, the mother of Kowalski Trawick.
My family and I have always known from the first time that we seen that video. Kowalski should be here today. Kowalski did not commit a crime. Brendan Thompson and Herbert Davis murdered Kowalski in cold blood in his home. Kowalski was not angry. Kowalski wanted answers to why they were in his home. They refused to answer him. He asked the question over and over again, why are you in my home? Neither officer answered him. Brendan Thompson tased Kowalski without warning. 2 or 3 minutes later, he shot Kowalski dead. Kowalski's last words were, get out of my home. He had not done anything wrong. He wanted to be at peace in his home cooking. But Brendan Thompson and Herbert Davis took him away from us. They took his life for no reason. These 2 officers should be fired. They should no longer be allowed to patrol the streets. Brendan Thompson and Herbert Davis needs to be fired. Kowalski was kind. Kowalski had a big heart. He loved his family, his friends, his sisters. He always looked out for his sisters. Esmita, Kowalski always took care of Esmita. She's 3 years younger than him. He always looked out for her. He always wanted the best for his family and his friends. Kowalski called me all the time, almost every day, FaceTime. He wanted us to come visit him when he was dancing. We should be here visiting Kowalski dancing, not mourning the loss of our son. Brendan Thompson and Herbert Davis took him away from us.
It's been hard. We've been having to take off work to get justice for Kowalski. I mean, my family and I, we've been traveling back and forth to New York for 4 years. Too long. These officers need to be fired.
I want to make sure everyone knows that today we have Kowalski Trawick's sisters with us. We have his sister, Esmita Trawick, and Ashanti Trawick flew in from Georgia, took time off work, so they are losing pay to fly to New York along with their parents to be at this trial that is completely unnecessary because we shouldn't have to be here today. This city should have done its job and fired these officers long ago. Our next speaker, Ricky Trawick, father of Kowalski Trawick.
Hello, everyone. Kowalski was not the threat here. Officer Thompson and Davis was the threat. They took his life for no reason. Those two officers need to be fired from NYPD. They do not need to be on the street here. Thompson and Davis.
You got two police officers. They was not handling their job. They just took control of the situation with my son, took his life from him. Kowalski was never a threat to these officers. These two officers was the threat. They committed a crime, and something should be done about that. They should be fired from NYPD. If not, go to jail. They should go to jail.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is the family's attorney, Royce Russell.
The testimony that you're going to hear coming up will expose how little the police department really want to get to firing, disciplining, deterring violence in our streets by the lack of their due diligence. There's no way that you have a death of an individual for which there was a call for harassment at the highest, which is a violation, not a crime, that this person is dead. How do you then interview those officers that are involved for only 30 minutes? A 30-minute interview is not 30 minutes from top to bottom. 30-minute interview is probably 15 minutes at top. Before we get through the pro forma of do you have an attorney, we're going to ask you these questions. How do you have that interview and never go back to it? How do you not confront the officers with contradictions among themselves, whether or not one officer told another officer not to do a certain act, letting the officer know, Thompson, that we're not going to use a taser. We're not going to use force. How are you going to not go back and say, well, did that happen or didn't it happen? You said it didn't happen. Well, now we have a problem. Now we need to dig deeper. The arrogance of the officers to know and to lie during an investigation when there's footage out there that shows exactly what is going on is a sign that they're not worried about any discipline. And why should they be? History has shown us that rarely are officers terminated. Three administrations now, and we still have no answer. Family deserves justice. And you heard from not a police officer, a deputy chief who has been trained under FBI nationally. Before anybody leaves here with the weird idea that because CCRB had this man come in, this expert testified that he is one-sided. He has testified for cities and counties on police use of force, tactics, and procedures. Here we have, without any mistake, a lack of using the right tactics, best practices, the right procedure in the escalating and the death of Kowalski Trawick. Who arrives at a resident for resolving harassment? Look at the video. Put on black gloves to go upstairs to resolve a situation. It's uncalled for. It shows you what they thought about the individual that they're about to come in contact, the lack of humanity that they exhibit, and the use of force and the lack of following procedures and practices that led to the death of Kowalski Trawick. There's no doubt he's the victim, not these officers, and they should be fired.
Before I call up our final speaker, I just want to acknowledge that here today we also have Mrs. Hawa Ba, the mother of Muhammad Ba, who was killed by NYPD in 2012, also in his own home. Our next speaker is Jawanza Williams from Vocal New York.
First of all, I want to send my condolences again to the Kowalski Trawick family. For the last 2 weeks, this city has been reeling and grieving about the realities of white supremacist vigilantism that happened on our subway, where Jordan Neely was strangled to death, a person in mental distress, allegedly. The reason I mention him in the context of Kowalski, because what does it say to all of us that we have vigilantes who are being paid by the city of New York in the NYPD? How can these people literally break into his house, and summarily execute him, then lie under oath and continue to collect our taxpayer dollars while this family has to grieve and spend their hard-earned money to travel to this city to ask for the very basic measure of justice of having these folks lose their jobs. The legitimacy of our city government, the legitimacy of the NYPD, the legitimacy of the mayor's office, and the legitimacy of democracy in the city of New York is at stake right now. We need Mayor Eric Adams, Commissioner Sewell, to do what should have been done 4 years ago and fire these cops. We are not safe. We have to fire these cops, and we've got to do something about this policing problem that we have going on in this city.
Kowalski, Treywick was not a threat. Fire Thompson and Davis and never forget.
Fire Thompson and Davis and never forget. Kowalski, Treywick was not a threat.
Attorney, hi. So it won't prosecute. So you're left with an administrative hearing before this an unelected appointed civilian complaint review board. And you're hoping certainly for the dismissal of these two officers for the killing of Kowalski.
Right.
Are there other kinds of legal remedies that you can pursue? And what does this say about the darn legal system? What do you say?
I think one of the other remedies that can happen is that you do not allow the NYPD to discipline their own. You do not have a tribunal that is part of the overall, and I'll use the word conspiracy, or the overall inner workings of the police department. It is not far-fetched to think that a prosecutor will not go forward against police officers because it might intimidate or might have police officers to think that you're not on their side from a law enforcement perspective, so therefore I don't want to work with you. Therefore, I'm not going to show up to court. Therefore, I'm going to do things to make your life difficult. To think that a prosecutor may look at those factors and say, not this time. And if you take that scenario and you move it forward, it is not far-fetched that when you have an internal entity deciding the accountability or the termination or the firing of individuals that they have to work with might be shy from doing that. So we need to dismantle that. This needs to be made more public. The administrative hearings should be held in Supreme Court, where people from the community can come, where there's more seatings, not where the police department control who comes in to watch this trial. More exposure, I believe, would lead to more transparency. But working and dealing with administration after administration, whether it is commissioner or whether it's mayoral, these are the chips that we have to keep on knocking off the mountaintop before we actually get to the mountaintop.
And what about knocking off the mountaintop of white supremacy and its historic roots and the whole origin of policing, which continue to devalue at best, otherwise seek total vicious control over Black Lives Matter?
You talk about white supremacy. Underlying that terminology is white classism as well. You have to take class and race and combine it to understand the evolution of how police, how they make decisions that I'm going to kick down your door and go in your apartment and kill you because you're on 1660 Grand Avenue, but I'm going to talk to the person that's on 96th Street on the east side on First Avenue, or maybe that lives in Stuyvesant Town. We're going to stand there and have this conversation until we can come to a resolution. That's not only white supremacy, that's classism. You take this same scenario, you put it in a different socioeconomic class, the end result would not have been death.
Lastly, do you feel that there's some basis for being able, if they are losing their jobs, can you do a civil suit at least and sue the police department? Or can you do that anyway to at least get a larger measure of accountability?
So,
not that monetary accountability can ever substitute for the loss of a life.
I represent the family in the civil suit, so that is ongoing. So what I think will move the evolution of accountability, if those judges that preside over these type of cases also have the power to advance certain orders, such as this is the 20th time we've had officers from the 46th precinct litigating over use of force, we now mandate, like federal judges do, we now mandate that you have to put this in place.
because a lot of cases don't make it to federal court because people just don't litigate there. People want to stay in the forum for which the event happened, and you don't have that type of power. So we are litigating that. Like with everything else, that litigation is going extremely slow. But that's all right. They can take as slow as the turtle. It doesn't matter. Because as long as there's not accountability, as long as there's not responsibility, these incidents are going to happen over and over and over again. It's going to be embedded in our mind. And whether we talk about a case that happened in 2019, I'll be able to parallel the same case that's happening in 2027. So it'll always be relevant. They're kidding themselves if they think that this is going to go away.
The issue of the media in this case and Jordan Neely, which would seem to be apologists for people who are proclaimed to have some degree of emotional upset, which has hardly been established in any event. And as far as I'm concerned, Jordan Neely was nothing more than homeless. Your thoughts on the level of society that we're operating in post-Eric Garner, post-George Floyd, boots on the ground around the world, and here we are? Is it a white backlash or something where we can become apologists or be having a debate about whether or not a private citizen was entitled to kill, strangle Jordan Neely, or whether or not these two police officers were entitled to go into somebody's home and take their life?
What I can say to you is, notwithstanding being a lawyer, being an African-American male born and raised in New York, what I've seen in society is that citizens often act out what they see law enforcement do. What has happened here in New York City as of late is a replica of Trayvon Martin. Citizens acting out because they know they're going to be supported. They see officers do this so they can act in a certain way. It all evolves around, you have the power, I have the power, let's join together to use this power. I've watched mayors with an S talk about tragedies in other states, talk about and pontificate about a George Floyd. But when it comes down to what happens here in this city, quiet is kept. No one's really talking about it for days and days and hours and hours.
And again, I'm speaking with
Royce Russell, R-O-Y-C-E, Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L, attorney for the Trawick family on their civil suit.
Thanks so much.
You were listening to the press conference in the aftermath of the hearing of the murder in his own home, while cooking, of Kowalski Trawick. Say their names, Jordan Neely. Say their names, Kowalski Trawick. Because those who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash.
For Building Bridges, stay strong, pay close attention, and remember, those who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.